That is not just a major help. That's like huge. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much. Seriously.
Hey man, God's awesome, right? God's awesome. And we love to bless people in the name of Jesus. And so again, thank you for giving to that. Again, we will continue to bless people in Jesus' name. And you know, I just, for stories like that, it's not just organizations, individuals. You never know what that's gonna do in our community. In fact, we do know what it does in our community. It spreads the love of Jesus out there. And come on, man, the community needs it, right, everybody? I mean, the community needs that so badly. So thank you again for giving to that. If you wanna find out more about Dollar Club, just go to our website and you'll see up there on the top. You can just look at what the reason why behind that is, when it started, all those things to fill in those blanks. But we just love Dollar Club here, and so great that we are able to do that in the name of Jesus. Thanks for giving to that. Well, with that said, I want to say good morning to everybody. It's welcome back. Welcome back. We missed last week, and so we did miss it. And if you're visiting today, welcome to you. Glad that you are here. And all of you who are watching online, happy you're joining us. And my prayer every single Sunday is that you've already felt God's presence, that you've already met him. And I pray that continues on as we get into his word. And so let's just go ahead and do that. If you have your Bibles or electronics, go ahead and grab those and open them up to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, as you're getting there to 1 Corinthians 7, over the next 4 weeks, we are going to be talking about something that hits every single one of us, and it covers every single season of life. We're going to look at the topic of singleness and marriage and what God has to say about it. And why we're doing this, everybody, why we're talking about being single and being married here at church, because I want to say this right up front in the beginning of this so we're really super clear on this, okay? The world's view of relationships and God's view of relationships could not be any more different. For everybody. And so we just got to talk about this a little bit and why we need to talk about this in church. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. If we're honest, if we're really honest, I think for Christians who want to live for Jesus in both of these circumstances, whether you're single or married, here's the deal. I think it's easier than we think to get caught up in the cultural expectations and in the social pressures that exist. And even our own desires can really get mixed up in there. And we can miss the bigger picture of what God wants to intend for our lives. It's just possible. So in this series, here's what we're gonna do, just so you know what we're gonna talk about. It's very simple. Here's what we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about what does it mean to be single. We're gonna talk about what does it mean to be married. We're gonna look at how do we live faithfully in either one of those seasons, and what does God say about love, intimacy, and connection. So we're gonna talk about that, and over the next few weeks, we're just gonna look at God's word. We're gonna see how we can find the meaning and purpose that he has for us, and no matter where you are in your journey, here's my hope, and what I know is gonna happen. I think God is gonna challenge some of the misconceptions that we may have about relationships, and I think he's gonna encourage us to live in his good design, what he designed us to live through, whether you're single or married. And so today, what we're going to do, we're going to kick this off by looking at God's call in our singleness. We're going to talk about today, what does it look like to be single and live for God in the current culture and landscape we're in? Just a funny thing, just a funny note. So we missed last Sunday, right? We canceled services. And last Sunday's message was about serving, about joining a ministry team and serving. It's a true story. So we were going to end the message by singing Available, which is Here I am available, and kind of encourage you to get in the swing of serving. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, man, maybe we could kind of keep that and in there, and the singles could stand up as we sing, Here I am, I'm available, right? I'm not gonna do, we're not gonna do that. We may do that. We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. We'll just see what the Holy Spirit does, okay? I don't know. So, I thought that was funny. I looked up some statistics. I like looking up some stuff like that on singleness and where we're at in today's culture. And I found some really interesting things out. So in the 2020s, in the 2020 census, for the first time ever since the census has been taken, the percentage of single people is in the U.S. is higher than the percentage of people who are married. That's the first time that it ever happened. And I also found that the number of single person households has increased fivefold since the 1960s. So 53% of households are single occupied compared to 26% in the 1960s. I just found that really interesting for us to understand where we're at. But here's the other thing that I found, that when it comes to church, though, even though over 50% of us are single, singles only make up 40% of regular church attenders. So I find that interesting. I don't find that surprising because I think in a lot of ways church life has dropped the ball as far as how we take care of not leaving single people behind. And that's that's what I want to talk about that today a little bit. And here's my hope for us today. Here's my hope. So if you are here, and I know there's quite a few of you here, and you're single, whether it's by choice or by circumstance, if you are widowed or you're divorced, if you've never been married, you want to keep it that way, or you're hoping that God changes it sometime soon. Here's what I know. God, here right now as you are, God wants to do a few things. He wants to encourage you. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you so that you can, right now as you are, contribute to the kingdom uniquely and purposefully where you are as a single person living for Jesus, whether you want to stay single for the rest of your life or that you want God, you feel you're calling this a season of your life, okay? So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to get into this with 1 Corinthians 7. And I just a note on this, 1 Corinthians 7. So the guy who wrote this, actually, he wrote about marriage as well in the book of Ephesians. But Paul, he was actually single. He was single. Some believe that he was not always single. Some commentary believes that he was a widower. There's no biblical evidence to actually point to that, but there are some reasons why some commentary suggests that. But what we do know is that as he wrote this to the church of Corinth, he was single, just so we know. So let's look into this. We're going to pick this up in verse 7, and here's what he says. He says, "I wish that all were as myself am," which he's saying, talking about being single. "But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am." And so here's where I want to start. If you have your notes, go ahead and get those out there. I want to start with us seeing things the way that God sees it. So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing that we're jotting down. This is how God views marital status. And it's this, that marriage and singleness are equally desirable, equally beneficial, and equally purposeful in the kingdom of God. That marriage and singleness are both a gift from God. One is not more than the other. One is not set apart differently in what God can do. In fact, one of the things that I find interesting about Christianity, when you look at all of the major monotheistic religions of the world, when you look at Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Christianity is actually unique and set apart in how it validates and values the single life as a positive thing in the community of believers. I don't know if you knew that. No other religion does that. Only God does. God is the only one that does it, the true God of the universe. So God's preference, here it is, everybody. God's preference isn't in whether you're married or single. That's not what God's interested in. He doesn't care about your marital status. He cares about your relationship with him. And the question that God wants you to know and what he wants every single one of us to answer is this, is how am I using wherever I am? How am I using wherever I am, married or single, to give honor, glory, and obedience to God? Because both circumstances can answer that question, and one can't do better than the other. One's not preferred by God over the other. And I'll say this, with all that said, even though it's black and white, straight from God's word, that the single life is valued the same as married, I'm not so sure how church is doing in this area. I'm not sure how we're doing in this and valuing it the same. I came across an article as I was looking that a single Christian wrote, and I think she captured this really well, and it may resonate with how singles feel sometimes. Here's what she says. She says, "Church people say some weird things to single people sometimes. Some of my favorites are the comparisons. They will tell me when they find out I'm single, oh, well, Jesus was single, or Paul was single, and those are really unfair comparisons. Yes, thank you, Jesus was single. He's also God, and Paul was single, and he's also arguably the most influential person in the history of Christianity, so I'd rather not be compared to them." I thought that was kind of good, and she goes on to say this, and this was what really hit me. This is what got to me. She says that the church can unintentionally make the single feel a little like an outsider looking in. And you know, I got to be, you know, as I read that, here's the thing. I resonated with this because I remembered my single years. A lot of you know this. I didn't get married until I was 30. And so I do remember being in church life as a single and how challenging it was sometimes. It was challenging. And what I want to say is the church is not intentionally anti-single, but sometimes it can feel that way. It can feel that way. So I thought a lot about how we just need to celebrate this morning. So I want to say this before we get, as we navigate this today, I just want to stop and say, I want you to hear me on this, singles. Just hear me here. You're celebrated here. You are celebrated here. You are valued here. And I want you to be a huge piece of who we are as a church. In fact, what I will tell you is we absolutely need you. You are a vital, vital piece of ministry being able to get done as you are right now. And here's the good news. We see it everywhere. The good news right now, today for us as a church at River Ridge Church, we have singles all over the place making this church go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you because we see all of you everywhere. And it's so important to see that because of what we're going to unpack today. This is what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to talk about how to date and how to get married. No, I'm going to talk about how you are living for God right now in the single life. Because here's what I want to say. There are, for a lot of reasons, things that you can do for Jesus as a single person that we will not be able to do as good or even do at all as married people. And you have to catch this, okay? This is why Paul is saying that it's absolutely good. Not just it's a blessing. It is awesome being single. All right, so let's look at why. Three reasons why it's good to be single. Now, before we get to these reasons, I do feel like I need to do a public service announcement here today. If you are here and you're married today, I want to be really super clear. God is not calling you to be single, okay? Like, I just want to make it, because I'm going to tell you, single people, some of the things I'm about to list, married people are going to look in on those and goes, that seems pretty awesome. I don't know, so just like you would, we're gonna talk about marriage here in the next few weeks, where you'd be like, man, that's really great. That seems pretty good. But married people, this is not a commercial for you to go to Splitsville, okay? I hate that I have to say that, but I am saying that. And we're gonna spend a few weeks on you, so just hang tight, all right, about your call as a married person in Christ. And so let's read here a little bit. We're gonna drop down to verse 32, and we're gonna read a little chunk here with what Paul says, and we'll unpack this here. Here's what he says in verse 32. He says, "So I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. And I say this for your own benefit, single people, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord." And so in here, there's way more than three advantages of being single, but I just want to use what Paul says here and find three advantages, three things that you have right now in the single life. If you're writing these down, here's the first advantage that you have, is that you have the freedom of simplicity. You have the freedom of simplicity. There is a simplicity of life through being single that is absolutely unattainable if you're married. It's just true. That there aren't the complications of somebody else. There are not those complications that you have to consider in the daily decisions that you make. Single people, you know what you can do when you wake up on a Saturday? You know what the answer is? Whatever you want to do, okay? That's the answer. You do whatever you want. It's awesome. I remember when I was single, I would wake up and then I'd wake up again. And then I'd eventually have to take my dog out because he had to go to the bathroom, and then I'd go kayaking and call it a day. You know what I mean? I remember those days. They were really good. There's a lot of freedoms in what you can do in being single. And listen, marriage is great, but there is a degree. There's a degree of complexity and difficulty and tension that you don't have to experience in being single. And I love how Paul states that to you. He says, hey, I want to save you from some of those anxieties. You don't have to be in those anxieties. You don't have to enter into those. And what he says, that you can lean in on this simplicity to do a different kind of thing to accomplish God's work. So you have the freedom of simplicity. Here's the second advantage. You have the freedom of focus. The freedom of focus. So for single people, your focus can be a little broader, a little more broad when it comes to doing the things of God, way broader than married people. And here's why. This is why. Because Paul says that married people, our interests are divided, right? That there is a difference between caring for someone and being tied into a marriage. So in a marriage, your focus is just narrowed down because you have a responsibility to other people for everything to operate the right way. Right, so for me, just bringing me into it, God is telling me that my focus as a pastor is not taken away, but that it's divided. My focus is a little bit divided, right? Because I'm first called to love God, and then I'm called to love my wife and kids, and then I'm called to love everybody else. So I love all of you, but you're third, all right? You're third. I'm more divided in my responsibility. I have to cultivate and be anxious about tending to married things, tending to kid things, and it will take me more away. It's not going to take me completely away, but just more away than what you could do and be more focused in as a single person. So long story short here, I need you, single people. I need you to be doing things in this church, for this church, to be doing things in a more focused way, because you just have a freedom of focus, all right? So you're free to respond in ways to God that a lot of married people are just more challenged in doing. I'm not saying they can't do it. We say we're going to do a mission trip. Single people, you say, yeah, that sounds great. I'm in, right? Married people have to be like, well, wait, okay, we got to check in with him or her. Hey, when was that thing with Judy? And they got the anniversary. And like, what about this or that, right? You could pour yourself in to some really radical things of God. And that's not excluded for if you're married, but it's just a whole lot easier to operate in certain ways than if you weren't and make an impact in God's kingdom. So you have the freedom of focus. Here's the third advantage. You have the freedom in energy. You have a freedom in energy. Your energy is able to go towards way more. It's just able to go way more towards way more. When you're single, you don't have to spend time and energy mending things in a marriage. You don't have to worry about that, because in a marriage, here's what you know if you're in a marriage. In a marriage, did you know every single choice affects somebody? It doesn't matter if you think your choice doesn't impact, you're crazy. Every single choice impacts somebody else in your house all the time, right? And in healthy marriages, we're spending a lot of time mending things. We're spending a lot of time fixing things to stay united in our marriage. It's work. It's work, and it takes time, and it takes energy to do that. And Paul is just telling you here that you are more freed up as a single person to serve God and to devote your life more to his work, because your energy, here's what he's saying, your energy is more preserved. It's just more preserved and able to be spent differently and intentionally and make an impact for God. And that should just fire you up. That should really energize you as living single in this life. So those are the advantages. Those are the advantages. And that's why Paul, here, I just want you to catch this. That's why Paul is saying it's not just good, but it's an incredible gift. It's an incredible gift right now as you are. It's a gift of purpose. It's a gift to make a difference. It's a gift of benefit, and it's a gift of doing God things in your singleness. God has a call for you right now. Right now where you are, a lot of you, he has you exactly where he wants you to be. And so here's what I want to spend the rest of my time doing. I want to challenge you. Single people out there, I want to challenge three things that I want to challenge you to do. Here's the first thing that I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to engage in the season of singleness. I want you to engage in your season of singleness. I think so often people in the church life wait to get married to engage in the church. Don't do that. Like, don't wait. Like, you're not waiting. God isn't waiting for you. He is not waiting one more minute for you to get a spouse or anything, to take advantage of the things we just talked about. I just listed three great advantages that you have why you should not be sitting on the sidelines. You have a unique ability right now to serve God. You have a unique ability that you have going on for ministry. And I'm telling you, you just delight in that gift and get going. Engage in the church. Here's what I want to say. Right now, we need you. We need you. Like, our families need you. Our students need you. Our men and women who come here need you to jump in and do great things for God. Some of you here today, you have a passion to do something. I want to agree. Do it. Get moving. Step into that. Easiest way to do that today, Matt talked about it, is to go out in the lobby and go to that big light bright table, get a card, find out all the ministry opportunities that we have going on. We got a ton of ministry going on, ton of things that we could get you plugged in with. And so check out what we got to get plugged into. Because here's the bottom line. This is the bottom line. Not everybody needs to be married. I just want to straight up tell you, God is telling us, here's what he said, that for some people, you are going to find that the benefits of being single will outweigh the benefits of being married. And Paul wants you to know, he wants you to know in this, I don't know if you notice, he wants to know what people get into when they're getting married. He's like, just consider what you have when you get into this. He's like, do you really want this? Because some people bring really weird stuff into a marriage with them, okay? Like, some people bring some really, I'm not gonna isolate any gender in here in the next couple minutes, but in a marriage, Paul wants you to know, there are smells, there are gestures, there are attitudes, there are body noises they think are awesome. Do you really want that in your house? Just consider it, right? Some people like pillows everywhere, but you can't use them. They're just decorative. Do you really, like, you want to figure that out, right? And you have to keep talking about it. Talking about what? Talking about everything, like, all the time. That's me, by the way. I always have to talk about it. Courtney's like, please stop talking. Like, I'm always like, I got to talk everything out. Paul's just saying, know what you got before you think the grass is greener on the other side. You know, one of the things that I think about a lot, because I remember this when I was being single, and I remember experiencing this myself, is this idea of loneliness. I know that's real. I know that exists. But I do want to tell you something here, because I'm talking to you as someone who's been on both sides. Like I said, I wasn't married till I was 30. Here's what I want to tell you. We all fight loneliness. Every single one of us, even in marriages, even in really great marriages, there is loneliness sometimes. And here's why. We experience it in a different way, but it's still there. Here's why. Because for all of us, no matter where we are, God is the only thing that can fill that void, gang. And you know what we do all the time? We try to use other people to fill that void up. Even though we know what that void is, we know what it is, we try to do that. And so wholeness never comes from somebody else. Courtney does not make me whole. That's not her job. And every time that I try to do that, I will experience that, because that's God saying, no. I'm the only one who can do that. I'm the only one who could do that. Because in those moments, that's what I'm trying to do. See, no one else can do that, because if somebody else could do that, Jesus never had to come, everybody. So he came to fill that void. So just remember, when you have those times you experience loneliness, you're not alone in that. In fact, being married doesn't automatically eradicate that either. I just wanted to let you know, okay? So Paul's trying to encourage you, man, don't be so quick to want to leave this season. And maybe it's not just a season, maybe it's a call from the Lord. So we want to engage in this single season of singleness. Here's the second one. I want you to dedicate your mind and body to the Lord. Dedicate my mind and body to the Lord. So I just want to say this to you single straight up, just as clear as I can. Sex is only meant for inside a covenant of marriage. It should not be happening anywhere else, okay? Many people, including Christians, by the way, try to enjoy the benefits of marriage outside of the marriage covenant. And so I want you to think about that if you're here and that would be you and you're labeling yourself a Christian, that you are a Jesus follower. God is so clear that it's a sin. It's a sin, and we don't have to wonder about it. You need to repent from that, and you need to ask his forgiveness from that, and it compromises you. Here's what it does. It takes you out of the blessing that God wants you to have. God designed sex to be one of the most intimate things that exists inside a marriage. And the reason why it's only for those who are married, it's because, here's why, everybody. It's way more than a physical thing. It's emotional, it's spiritual, it's exclusive. You give away your properties to someone else and it becomes the other person's properties when you do this. See, it's not about rules. Like, God's not a killjoy. There's a why behind him doing this and saying this outside of marriage. And here's the problem though, everybody. This is what I was talking about in the beginning. See, the problem is our culture has separated that out and it promotes promiscuity. It's like, it's just sex. It doesn't mess with any other area. It's just physical. Well, God says something else, okay? He says something different about that, all right? So I just want to let you know, you have a choice here. And if you're here and you are not a Christian, I totally get how this sounds. I totally understand. But if you are here and you are a Christian, you are engaging in this activity, I just want to tell you this. You have a choice. Here it is. Listen, are you going to trust the world or are you going to trust God? Which one are you going to trust? There are two totally different sides here. You cannot be messing with sex and saying you're trusting God. You can't do that. It's impossible. You can't do it. So please hear me on that. Please hear me. It's way too black and white. And Psalm 119 says, how does a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Not the world, but your word. So if I could just push here a little bit, here's what I want to say. Just think about this. You are in Christ. Right now, you are in Christ. If you're a Christian, you are in Christ. That means Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is living in you. And I know for a fact that there is a battle going on if you're compromising yourself in this area. Think about what dedicating your mind and body to the Lord can look like and what a blessing it is because you're in Christ. Make a decision today. Have a conversation today. Honor God with your body and your mind. Some of you need to stop something right now. Some of you need to have a conversation. And I want to tell you, do it today. Do it today, right? And if the relationship ends because of that, what was the relationship about in the first place? You hear what I'm saying, somebody out there? Somebody needs to hear this right now. You are removing yourself from the blessing of God. And if you're afraid that relationship's going to end, what was it really about? So we want to dedicate our mind and body to the Lord. And a lot of times, like sometimes what you miss there, and it's what happens all the time. See, what happens if you are in this, you know what you do? You stay in the shadows of church life because you don't want to be exposed. Then you remove yourself from all the great things that you can experience with living it. Don't do that. Don't compromise yourself like that, right? Honor your mind and body with the Lord. Here's a third one. Make the pursuit of Jesus number one. Make the pursuit of Jesus number one. And this is all focused on God. And this is for both single and married people, okay? This is all about God. This is what Paul is getting at. This is what he's getting at. I love what he says at the end of that, where he says, man, I just want you to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. That's what Paul's most consuming thing is for you. And what he's saying, here's what he's saying, everybody, that for some people, not everybody, the best way to do that is through the call of singleness. That there's less turmoil, there's less stress, there's less anxiety, there's less tangles, and that turns into more and more ability to do great things for the kingdom of God and be freed up more for his purposes because it's all about God. So just make God number one, pursue him, and everything else, I guarantee you, will fall in place. And if you are here, I just wanna mention this for a minute. If you are here and you feel like this is a season for you, you feel like God calls you, you want to pursue relationships and you want to find yourself in married life, here's what I wanna tell you. This is my plea to you right now as a single person. Don't compromise, amen, everybody? Do not compromise, all right? You need to make a list of the things that you will not compromise on in the name of Jesus when it comes to the opposite sex. So just real quick here, I got three of them. You should have way more than three. But I just want to give you a few just to say, this is what I will not compromise. Here's the first one. Is he or she consistently pursuing Jesus? That's a yes or no, right? Pretty easy to figure it out. People, here's how you'll know. People will talk about what they value most. Are they talking about Jesus when you're together? Like, are they really bringing him up a little bit? If they're not, like, why not? Why? They will talk about what they value most. So are they pursuing Jesus? Here's the second one. Are my spiritual friends on board with them? Listen to your Christ-centered friends. If they're bringing up red flags, don't dismiss that quickly. They're trying to give you wisdom and advice. So are they on board with this person or not? Listen to your friends who are centered in Jesus. Here's the third one to think about. Are they leading me closer to Jesus, not further away from Jesus? Again, pretty easy to figure out. Like, do they want to go to church? If they don't want to go to church, I would say they're compromising. Are they wanting to go after the things that are encouraging you in the Lord? Do they ask about how your relationship is going with the Lord? Hey, do you have your quiet time today? Hey, did you read? How have you been praying lately? Are they asking you these spiritual questions? And here's what I will absolutely say. Do not make them your spiritual project. That is not God's call in relationships. Don't, hey, I'll get them there one day. That's not what God wants for you. He does not want that in relationships pursuing marriage. Just a couple things to remind you of. Things if you want to say, man, I want to pursue. Just make some more of those lists, okay? Run them by your friends. And I just want to encourage you in the season of singles here. So here's how I want to close. We're gonna sing Available. Single, stand up, everybody. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Might make a connection, I'm not sure. Here's what I wanna ask you. How are you using this season right now in this moment of singleness? How are you using it? If you're single, does not matter if you wanna stay that way or this is just a season in your life. I want you just today to ask God, like, what do you want me to do that I couldn't do if I was married? What do you want me to do that I couldn't do? I mean, I don't know what it looks like. It could look like a bunch of different things. Jumping in both feet to a ministry, like doing missions differently, like travel. I don't know what it could be. What I do want to tell you right now, though, don't believe this lie in the name of Jesus. You are not in a holding pattern. You hear what I'm saying? Don't believe that lie. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the devil. You are not in a holding pattern. You are free to make a difference in the kingdom for a purpose that God put you on this earth for in the season. And say, amen, everybody, come on. We need you. We need you to do, okay? Because married people can't do a lot of the things that you can uniquely do. Quite frankly, we need you to do it. Like, we need you to do it to make this church be what we know God wants it to be. We can't do it without the contributions of single people who are on mission for God. They're not removing themselves because of the things they're compromising in. No, they're stepping in to the glory and honor and obedience to the Lord that they want to put in their lives. Some of you, like right now, I believe this. Some of you right now, you are single for a reason. You're single for a reason. And I mean that not because you have BO or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know. Just check with a trusted friend. I don't know. Do I smell? Like, I don't know. You might. But I'm telling you, man, God has you exactly where he wants you to be, okay? You need to see this as a gift. You need to see this as so. I just really want you to think about this moment. I wish I had this message, by the way, when I was in my 20s. I removed myself from church life so much. I didn't think God had anything for me. I wish I heard this message. Because, man, I couldn't imagine all the ministry that I missed in my 20s. Man, I wasn't even compromised. I wasn't even dating at that time. I wasn't compromised. I didn't feel like church was for me in that way. I just would show up and go, man, the ministry I missed. I know what God's showing me now. And I want to encourage you today in this message. The Holy Spirit's moving in you right now. And I'm telling you, go out there, find out what is getting you moving, what gets you passionate, what gets you energized, and just say yes today, okay? And ask if you're really embracing and using this gift that God gave you. And I hope and pray, this is what I hope and pray for, that God's moving right now. He's moving and showing you some things you could be excited about and get going. We need you, and we value you, and we're so glad that you're a part of this church. Let me pray for us. God, thank you man, that you just established. I pray over the next couple of weeks as we talk about relationships, as we talk about the status that we're in. I pray right now, this is my big prayer, that we are not defining ourselves by this label, or we're not identifying with whether we're single or married. We're a child of God, wherever we are, that we just want to grow the kingdom of God, that we want to grow your kingdom, Lord, whatever it is, and whatever season we're in, this is the season that we're right now. I pray right now for my single brothers and sisters, A, that they do not compromise themselves. They stop removing themselves from your blessings. I think so many Christians are doing that right now, and it's a travesty. And I pray that they repent and they turn back to you, they turn back to your way so they can honor and glorify you and be obedient to you and see the ministry that you could do through them. We need them, Lord, and I pray they could see that, and that you're not, you don't wanna condemn them, you wanna free them up, you wanna free them up. And so you're just welcoming them into the kingdom and to work with you, Lord. I pray that over them in the name of Jesus Christ, that they can really get moving with you. I pray for our church that we can see ministry moving because of that. Thank you for all the singles that are working in your kingdom right now. We could not be doing what you're doing, Lord, because your call on them is, they're hearing it and they're doing it. And I praise God. And I just pray for more workers in the field. The harvest is ripe. And I just pray for more workers to come with us. We love you. We need you. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is 10:14, everybody. Come on. Come on, man. I got done early. Yeah. You got 1 minute. Go to the Lightbright table and sign up to see what ministry is going on. Take another minute to hang out. It's 10:15. Never mind. Bye.